It is completely true. Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, that's what the song says. Yet, as far as anyone knows, Davy Crockett never set foot in Tennessee until he was a grown man. North Carolina was his stomping ground, Piedmont and thereabouts. There are records, original documents, relating to Davy Crockett and two of his older sons still in the files of the old Lincolnton Courthouse. But then the call to the wild frontier did beckon, and Davy took his family up the eastern slopes of the Appalachians and down into the promised land on the other side. Now, in those days, you could strike out and claim 400 acres of land just like that. Build a cabin, and the estate was yours. Improve the property a little, and a settler could automatically claim an additional 1,000 acres of land adjacent to the original 400. That deal was just too good to pass up for many. Legislation established real estate offices throughout the territory. The Indians were bound to peace by a recently signed treaty. So Davy Crockett felt secure in his new homestead on the frontier, and probably he would have remained there happily ever after. But, well, this is the rest of the story. All at once, the local legislature pulled the rug out from under the settlers. Now suddenly, whites were forbidden to own or to survey or even to enter the land within the so-called Indian boundary. But speculators had already applied for more than 1 million acres inside the restricted zone, and Davy Crockett and his family already lived there. The Indians, the Creeks and the Cherokees, feeling cheated by the fine print in the treaty they had signed, now learning that countless white men had overtaken the Indians' rightful territory by 1,000-plus-acre chunks, the Indians were furious. There was talk of violence in the red communities. And quickly that talk grew into action. Among those threatened were a dozen settlers near what is now Rogersville, Tennessee. Among those 12 was Davy Crockett. And then one night, when Davy's son John was away from the homestead, the Indians did attack. Davy and his wife tried to fight them off, but she was killed in the raid, and so was he. Davy Crockett, dead in an Indian massacre in the spring of 1777. I mentioned that Davy's son John was not at home that night, so he lived to tell, and he lived to father a son of his own, whom he named after his own beloved father. Are you following this? It was the grandfather of the Davy Crockett you know, who was the very first ever to venture into Tennessee. It was another Davy Crockett from the one you know, the one who died at the Alamo. You were acquainted with the grandson namesake of the real frontiersman, the Irish settler, Davy's granddaddy, who scaled the Appalachians. He left it for posterity to write the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Well, we're back, and I got to say something here. Just listening to Paul Harvey, he doesn't always get it right. The Davy Crockett we knew about, the Alamo, was born in Greene County, Tennessee, along the Nolichucky River in 1786, and he was killed at the Alamo in 1836. It's a state park around his cabin. I've been there. It's not far from where I live, and Harvey gets it right most of the time, but the little details are wrong. There's also a state park down the road from me here, Sycamore Shoals. They talk about Davy Crockett, the frontiersman. They talk about his dad. They also talk about Daniel Boone and the things that he did. This is a region that's replete with U.S. history, and people here live it. They know it. But I'm sorry, Paul. You were wrong on that one. At any rate, we were talking about before what happened to President Trump. And I got to tell you right now, this is an appalling travesty of justice that has occurred. And I started to say this judge will put him in jail. Let me tell you why I think that. His goal is to make sure when we go into the Republican National Convention in July, which is like 4 days after his Trump sentencing date, that our candidate, our nominee, will be sitting in Rikers Island. And they said, well, they wouldn't send him there. Well, they've already talked about that. They had conversations a week or two ago between Rikers Island and the court to make provisions to receive Donald Trump, former president of the United States, and I guess the Secret Service. He would probably have to be put in an admin hole where he'd be basically isolated 23 hours a day, not having access to TV, radio, computers, telephones any more than any other prisoner would. So he would be impossible for him to campaign if he's locked up, and he has to go through the appeals process, which is a lengthy process. Unless, as Mark Levine said on TV last night, his defense team, which he recommended that Trump fire, file some type of special appeal, I'm not sure what it's called, to the Supreme Court, demanding that all these proceedings be halted and pending the outcome of these appeals. This is obviously election interference, but that needs to happen. It needs to go to a federal court to make that happen, at least as I understood it. Right now, he doesn't want to go directly to the U.S. Supreme Court because if they say no, that's it. He has nothing. He's totally at the mercy of the state appeals system, but he needs to request a stay of all these proceedings until he's able to wind himself through the state appeals court system. This is a flaw in the American judicial system that a person is put through a legal hell forever. I mean, the system works like a glacier immersed in molasses. And cases like this that have national implications, there should be a mechanism or another venue where someone can appeal directly to that venue and says, you know, this is not a normal case. This has national implications for the whole country as far as elections and everything else goes. This has political connotations to it. There's all kinds of errors in this case that law professors said. There's half a dozen or more, in fact, about a dozen things that they can probably appeal on and errors that this judge did. But I don't think they were errors. I think they were deliberate errors, if you call them that. He did this on purpose. He doesn't care if it's overturned. He's accomplished his mission. He humiliated Donald Trump. He gets him to be a convicted felon, and you have these Democratic Party activists out there saying, oh, Donald Trump is now a convicted felon, and he can't get away from that. You know, no matter what appeals court does, he's a convicted felon. Well, no, he's basically an innocent man wrongfully convicted. That's what's happened here. And you have, just like Alpha Dreyfus was wrongfully convicted, just like hundreds or thousands of other people over the centuries this country has been here have been wrongfully convicted by biased juries sometimes or simply a lack of evidence or errors or any number of things, detectives not getting it right. It happens. It happened a lot more than we like to think about before we had a lot of the complex systems we have today with DNA and stuff like that. But, you know, this is a small offense multiplied 34 times. I think I said 36 last time. There's 34 felonies that they turn this into. And they put themselves in a box. You can't convict somebody of 34 felonies and then say, okay, we're going to give you probation. That doesn't work. If it was misdemeanors, perhaps, but not 34 felonies. It doesn't matter that it's not a violent crime. It doesn't matter he's never been convicted of anything before. That can be taken into account. This judge won't. 34 felonies, you think about it. They're going to lock him up. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt the political process that's going on and to put a former president of the United States and the leading presidential candidate against Joe Biden in prison. And they're not going to allow him to have access to Zoom things on computers. He's not going to be able to do Zoom meetings. He'll have one debate in June that he can do. But after July, he won't be able to make the second debate because Joe Biden will say, well, my opponent's in prison. So I hope what happens here and that Trump picks somebody who's a very strong candidate for his vice president, and that vice presidential candidate can be surrogate in many cases and stand up and take on Biden, take on the Democrats. Somebody squeaky clean who's powerful and who can come in and just really clean their clock, who's got the experience and the integrity that they can't touch them. And he can call out the Democrats and this nonsense that they've done. And maybe if there's a miracle, there'll be a federal judge somewhere that'll step in and say Trump's rights have been violated. There is a provision in federal statutes. It's under Title 18 U.S. Code, Section 242, Part C. Violation of civil rights under cover of law, like when a policeman beats you up, something like that. We can talk about that in a few minutes. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Violation of civil. Hey, good afternoon, Al.
I'm listening. I can hear you.
Yeah. Boy, what a disappointment. But Al, I think the reality of this, that people need to wake up, and I'm hoping that, well, I'm not hoping, I would think that even Democrats alike, after witnessing what's happened, regardless of if they like Donald Trump or not, but really what this is a testament to just how powerful the federal government and the deep state is. They're going to bend the rules. They're going to do whatever it is or whatever it takes to get what they want. And they don't want Donald Trump in there. And it's not just the Democrats. It's the federal government. It's the deep state. And, you know, it just goes to show you that we the people, Al, we don't matter. We're just the grease in the wheel that keeps this machine moving forward. You have to know that. And what we've witnessed, and the fact that all these legal scholars are coming out on both sides saying how wrong this is just proof that they're going to do what they want. They're going to put him in jail, and, you know, what's going to happen? I mean, it's just the beginning, and it's sad, and what are we going to do, Al?
Well, first of all, I think contributing to his campaign, Trump's campaign, is a good thing to do. Getting people out to vote and be determined to vote for Trump, no matter what they do, no matter what the media does. I read or heard today that his points went up, his approval rating went up 6%. That's good. That ought to really shake him up and just let them know we don't approve of what they're doing, and, you know, shake them to the core, let them know that the American people aren't going to stand for it. And then elect him president. And then at that point, support those senators and those congressmen that says we want special prosecutors to go after these people who violated his rights. Title 18 U.S. Code Section 242, when a policeman beats you up on the street without just cause because you weren't fighting and he violates your civil rights, he can be prosecuted. Well, you know, judges and prosecutors have a lot of immunity too, but they don't have total immunity. And if they conspire together and they had someone subpoenas all these records and emails between them, find out that people were collaborating to convict Donald Trump on false charges, you can find a conspiracy in there. You can prosecute Alvin Bragg. You can prosecute this judge. He would not think you can, but just because he resigns doesn't mean he can't be prosecuted, and let them have a taste of their own medicine. But you could, like these senators are saying, you got to start playing hardball. You got these eight new Republican senators says we're not cooperating with the Democrats at all. You got Joe Manchin of West Virginia became an independent. Well, they need to woo him over, make him be a Republican, so they lose the U.S. Senate too, and realize politically this becomes a disaster for the Democrats. And the other thing I would say, like I said, you know, a boycott of New York State, New York City, it'll have some effect if it gains traction, and let the state of New York know you spent how many millions on this case. We're going to lose a lot more than that for a long time because of this kangaroo court system that, you know, this Stalinist, this was a Stalinist show trial. That's what they do. You find the man, how can we get him? Well, okay, we're going to find a way to convict this guy of something, dream something up, concoct a case, give him a 6-minute trial and take him out and shoot him. That's what Stalin used to do. He killed about 30 million Russian citizens in the 30 plus years that he was the totalitarian dictator of Russia, the Soviet Union. That's what they do. That's what the left always does. And they need to basically have rule of law applied to them vigorously, except we adhere to rule of law. We don't do show trials. We do real trials. We do real evidence, real investigations. And like you said, we have a problem with the deep state. And it's going to take someone a lot of guts to get in there and start with a meat cleaver and start carving out some of these agencies. No promotions, no hiring for certain agencies. As these people retire, we're not replacing, shrinking the size of certain parts of the federal government and letting the rank and file know if you're going to violate the Hatch Act, you're going to get involved in politics like you are, then you don't need to be employed anymore. And we can cut down the power that way. It takes time. It's going to take a long time, and political will. I don't know if America has it, because right now what I see is something paralleling the rise and fall of the Roman Empire when the emperors took over and they imposed a dictatorship protected by the Praetorian Guard. And the, you know, senators were invited to commit suicide or suffer the consequences, which would be worse, or like killing of their whole families and things. I mean, that's how republics fall. They fall usually from within, from the rot within. And right now, we're very close to having the American Republic collapse within on itself because of this garbage from the Democratic Party.
Well, out of 200 million voters, you know, what if Donald Trump gets 150 million votes and they decide, no, we're not going to let him be president? That's what we're up against here, Al.
Well, and there's a point.
I think what we're really seeing here, the message from the deep state is that we're going to do what we want. You're going to continue to do what you do to keep the world spinning, and we're not going to let him be president. Like you said earlier in the program, let's see if they allow the appellate courts to take this case. And if they throw him in prison, all that does is reinforce what I'm saying. They are not going to let him participate.
Well, they won't let him participate, which I said he has to have a strong vice president, because when you vote for president and vice president on the same ticket, you know, the president can take the oath of office in that prison. They can't stop that from happening. A Supreme Court justice goes down there and says, I'm administering the oath of office, whether you like it or not. Secret Service is there to protect him. They're going to have to let him do that. And then, you know, the vice president who's sworn in, the vice president would step into his place, and then he can start doing things at his end to get the president released. You do it legally, but basically, you know, you can change a lot of things. You appoint a special prosecutor, you get an attorney general that's a real attorney general that really adheres to his oath of office, and he's going to do it without fear or favor. And you can go after people like this, and, you know, you can get him released at that point. But I'm just saying, this is going to get a lot uglier before it gets resolved, because these people are playing hardball. And like these eight senators said, we're going to start playing hardball too. You got to make them pay politically. This whole strategy needs to backfire. And that's what the vice president is there for, to stand in for the president when he can't be there. You have the 25th Amendment for that. It doesn't mean it's permanent, but the president can take the oath of office. He just can't be doing the duties as long as he's there. And if you say they basically nullify the election results and Biden decides to stay, or they're going to put their candidate in, whoever that may be, or somebody else, and then people protest and they start shooting people down in the streets, well, you know, that's when the revolution begins, I guess, is after the government starts shooting us down, like the Ayatollah shoots down the citizens of Iran. That's when the American people have to decide, are they going to be sheep or are they going to be wolves like our founders were? But, you know, now, I don't advocate.
The Republican Party, they have to show some unification. And that's their biggest weakness. They're not unified. The Democratic Party is unified. They circle the wagons, and they back each other up, and they go on with their agenda. The Republican Party, they have to fight fire with fire, and they can't do that until they're united. And their track record sucks. They're so complacent and passive. They don't do anything about anything. And, you know, the Hunter Biden stuff that's been going on for years and years and years now, and all these investigations and everything, I hope that they prevail and show that they can get something done. But look at what's going on with Hunter Biden, the years and years of investigations and the surmountable mountain of evidence against this guy, and nothing's happening. They ushered Donald Trump into, you know, a court on a bunch of bookkeeping allegations and, tentative crimes or whatever they're calling it, and now they're getting ready to put the guy in prison. This is so lopsided, Al.
It is. It's terrible. And we finally have a federal judge that said no to Hunter Biden and that whole cabal up there. They're kind of shocked that he wouldn't let them do the sweetheart deal they want, and he's going to stand trial in the month of June. It shouldn't be more than about a week-long trial, and we'll see what happens. And the president's committed not to pardon his own son. We'll see how that turns out. I can't imagine that he won't pardon his son at some point, especially after the election. He'll probably say, well, we're going to appeal this, let him remain free on bail until appeal. That'll probably happen. And get past the election date, then he'll probably pardon him. Because what are you going to do about it? But that also tells the American people a lot about what's going on. I don't know what to tell you about the Republican Party. I agree with you. They are very divided. The country is very divided across the board. And one conservative eating another is like a national sport with the Republican Party. And that's where we have to look back to our revolutionary roots, where they had that flag, unite or die. It showed a segmented snake the 13 colonies, mm-hmm. says, if we don't get together, mm-hmm. we're going to die. That's the choice we have. And it may very well be the end of the Republic, because if the Democratic Party gets their way, it will be the end of the Republic. This is not the party that my parents were part of. This is not the party that I was a member of in my early 20s. You had a national security generation that actually believed in America, that believed in our heritage. This party is Marxist in its orientation. They have people who hate this country. They put a man in office, the first president, who truly hated and despised America and its history and Americans, a large segment of the American population, Barack Obama. I was shocked mm-hmm. at this guy, because that's who he really was. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like this country. And he really believes mm-hmm. the garbage he was fed growing up, because he grew up with a card-carrying communist, you know, this guy who was on the FBI list, in fact, that mentored him in his teens. So he's been cured or marinated in Marxist ideology most of his life, as have most of his peers in the so-called elites in the Democratic Party. They are not people who love America as it was founded. They are embarrassed to even fly an American flag on the 4th of July, and they don't want to see anybody else do it. They are insulted and embarrassed by anyone flying the flag. They find it offensive. And this is something you keep seeing culturally popping up around the country, always in blue states, blue communities, things like that. They don't want to have anything to do with that, because it's not who they are anymore. And the saddest thing is, you know, the people, there's like in these protests against Israel with all these college kids from these elite universities. These kids, you know, they got gay kids out there, and women, mostly the loudest and most vocal proponents of this cause for the Hamas are women. Yet if you went into Gaza as a woman, you're treated like garbage, and they'll kill homosexuals. They do that all the time. And these people seem to have no clue about what they're advocating for. Just like they want this Marxist revolution, which basically eats its young all the time. And they don't seem to understand what's going to happen if they get their way. So no country lasts forever, and the average life of a republic is about 250 years. We're at 249. Let's see if we can break the average. But I don't know. I'm really worried. And it depends on what the American people do this election.
You know, the 2016 election, you know, showed that the American people were sick and tired the way things were going. We needed a change.
We needed a change, and we got the music
on. And then Donald Trump, you know, he was elected. And I think in the 2020, I think Donald Trump was elected in 2016. It was a slip-up by the deep state. They were not anticipating, you know.
We got to go. I'm sorry.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks gaining steam before the closing bell, with the Dow finishing out the last trading day of the month sharply higher. The tech-heavy Nasdaq fell, but paired from bigger earlier losses as tech stocks retreated. However, the tech sector posted its best month of the year. It was a losing week for the major averages, with both the Nasdaq and S&P 500 snapping a five-week winning streak, but they were up sharply for the month. Investors weighed the latest PCE inflation readings for April that were mostly in line with forecast. While consumer spending weakened, mixed signals for the Fed that provided little clarity on whether the central bank will be able to begin slashing interest rates in September. The Dow winners, United Health Group, Salesforce, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Microsoft, Amazon, and Caterpillar. The Dow rising 575 points. The Nasdaq down 2. S&P 500 up 42. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Did you know you can save $1,200 with a new federal tax credit on energy-efficient shades? Just ask Knight's Window Treatment Pros. Reduce your monthly utility bills with shades designed to provide year-round insulation at the window. When temps dip or when they heat up, you'll love the savings. For details, call or visit Knight's Carpets and Interiors. 805-237-1400. 3320 Ramada Drive. Knightscarpet.com.
The Estrella Warbirds Museum and Woodland Auto Display are hidden gems in the North County with new exhibits, a lot of history, aviation artifacts, and memorabilia. Check out the vintage airplanes you may have seen flying over the Central Coast in person. Bring the kids and let them play inside these amazing machines. The Estrella Warbirds Museum and Woodland Auto Display, open Thursday through Sunday from 10 to 4 at 4251 Dry Creek Road in Paso Robles. For more, visit ewarbirds.org.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. We're talking a lot about Donald Trump today, some about the deep state. Let me just go back in time a little bit. You know, the deep state, what is that? That's basically just government. We basically elect officials to public office, to legislatures, to represent us. They, in turn, delegate their authority to agencies to make regulations. And oftentimes, a law gets passed, some environmental law, and the law to be enforced, as the secretary may direct. So you got all these little bureaucrats underneath them who are making up all these little laws. You got college students coming out of school basically talking about all this. And I think I got a caller, so I'm going to go straight to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Yes, you're there. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Al. I just heard a report on Rumble that laws were passed, which I don't know how that would have happened, that would make me and many people who have supported conservative efforts, terrorists. And that's the way it was put. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts or information about that.
Well, what's happening, I don't know if there's a law passed, but you have agencies like the FBI looking at Moms for Liberty. These were the women who organized themselves, who were upset about what was being taught their children in school, and they protested at PTA meetings. Well, the FBI has been monitoring this group now and putting them in a classification or category as potential terrorists, along with the Klan and, you know, American Nazi Party, things like that. You know, mothers who don't want their children taught obscenities or material so obscene you can't talk about it or mention it by in graphic terms like they do in the classroom in a public meeting, let alone broadcasted on the air. And they basically said, we don't want this. Conversations got heated because they basically were dismissing the mothers, and the mothers got a little angry and yelled at them in one school. But this is, they have a national organization like that, and they're just trying to get people aware of what's being taught to children in school. Mothers want to know. They have a right to know. But people in the deep state don't think you should know. And they've got laws being passed, even in California, that would basically keep you from knowing. I can talk about that legislation later. But I think that's what's happening. You got groups like the FBI. They get their information from groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, when they were monitoring the Ku Klux Klan and some of the more extreme far-right groups, anti-Semitic groups, things like that, that advocated violence, and gang violence too. They were good at monitoring that. They were pretty useful. But then they got ideologically skewered, basically. They went off to the far left side, and they're mostly Marxist and card-carrying communists in that organization now. And what they do is basically smear groups they don't like. If you're a Christian, you go to church on Sunday. If you're a devout Catholic, you go to church every Sunday, something like that. You're suspicious. You're someone that needs to be watched. And they actually had FBI agents going into Catholic churches, at least on the East Coast, monitoring things that are being said and what people are doing, especially in the pro-life community, if they're out there demonstrating against abortion. And they've hammered these people in courts. They have set them up, people who have simply been outside of abortion clinics praying or singing. If they crossed a line that they considered unacceptable, they basically prosecuted them under the Freedom of Access Clinics Act, which was passed under Clinton in the 90s. And they're sitting in the prison, 11 years in prison. Like I said last week, one lady who's 64-year-old grandmother sent serving a five-year sentence, and she was kept in solitary confinement for 22 days because she shared her food with another prisoner. I mean, they're treating you like you're terrorists. And that's what's happening. And that's happening under Democratic administrations. They're the ones who are doing this. The Justice Department is throwing the book at you like you're members of organized crime groups or Mexican drug cartels. Now, they're more afraid of the American people than they are of drug cartels or communist agents or anybody else. And the bureaucracy knows when conservatives get into power, their jobs are at stake, because the only solution we've got left is to cut these agencies down to size and make them more accountable. And a lot of these people think they're a power under themselves. I've worked with them in the past, 20 years ago, and they're a pretty arrogant bunch. Some of them are really arrogant, FBI in particular, and they're the prima donnas of law enforcement. A lot of local cops don't like working with them. They have a lot of resources, but they can be really difficult to work with, and that's carried over when they became politicized. A lot of the people going into the FBI, younger people, younger agents coming out of these elite colleges, they've been indoctrinated in a Marxist stew for a long time, and they see you and I and any other conservative as a threat to the nation that, as they see it and as they want it. And that's a Barack Obama type of perspective on what America is or what it should be. So if you're, I don't know that actually declaring us terrorist yet, but I think, you know, that's like a bureaucratic thing. We're treating us like that and looking at us like that. And I don't advocate that anybody do anything violent. We have political means at our disposal. And until, like I said, until they start shooting us dead in the street, you know, they fire first, like Captain Parker said at Lexington Green, don't fire until they fire first. And if they want a war, let it begin here. They got to fire the first shot. I'm not firing on the American flag or anybody until they're literally shooting at me first. So, but yeah. And that's what we need to do.
Thank
we
you.
Need
to I base- think we all need to hear that. Every okay. bit of what you just said.
Okay. And that's important. You know, we need to do what's right, not sink to their levels. And we need to fix this judiciary system and this corrupt systems that are there. I would love to see conservatives get into office and be able to really make some changes and hold these people accountable, have an agency created whose sole function is to investigate federal officials, especially law enforcement officials, who violate the rights of American citizens under the cover of law. Right now, there's very little. I don't think the FBI, other than their internal organizations, they don't have anybody that holds them accountable. No one holds the Attorney General accountable or his minions that go out. One of the guys that worked on Trump's trial with Alvin Bragg in New York City was the third highest ranking official in the Justice Department. He left that position to go work in New York City for Alvin Bragg because he wasn't happy that they weren't going after Trump. That's wrong. You know, that's a factor. I think that's a link directly to the White House, so it's hard to prove. And I think we need to look at all that and have a special prosecutor at some point and look at how many of these people have been colluding all these years. The hoax, you know, the Russian collusion hoax with Hillary Clinton, she wasn't prosecuted for that. All the emails that she destroyed, all the hard drives that she destroyed, all the evidence was there, obstruction of justice. Not a thing was done to her. Nothing. But there needs to be one standard of justice in this country, and they need to be held accountable just like we do. And it's just really pathetic how far down the tubes this country has gone in terms of justice. The system's corrupted, and people have lost confidence in it. And this verdict and the way this verdict was achieved and what they're doing to President Trump and what they're going to do, what I fear they're going to do to him, he's going to be a martyr in this country. And I fear for the survival of the Republic if this is allowed to continue and it's not stopped. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's that serious.
It is. It really is.
It's that serious. So, and at least we can be prepared if we are awake and we listen and we talk to each other.
We got to talk to each other. We got to get united. We got to stand behind our elected officials that have the guts to stand up to this. I have another caller. I got to take this call. But, hey, thank you very much for your call. All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Al. You know, this situation we're in sounds like what we hear about in banana republics and things that are have been happening for centuries all over the world. But there is no political or judicial solution. If we don't, as a nation, we were founded, some people would say, good reason to believe that we were founded as a Christian nation. If we don't get down on our knees and pray to the God who we say we believe in and is powerful and can answer our prayers, we are lost. We're going to be speaking Chinese, or our grandchildren will be, or whatever, under the thumb, and be just slaves of the Chinese or the Islam.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, the problem, biggest problem in this country is we've lost our moral way. And I think it's starting with the church, the Christian churches. They need to repent and get back into the gospel and the things that they were called to do. But we don't do that. And you look at our churches, most of them don't preach the gospel anymore. Christian churches are more of a social thing than they are a devotion to God. And we've lost our way. And you look at our moral center, what people believe, what they don't believe. You know, and you go into evangelical churches, more than half of them don't believe the basic tenets of Christianity anymore. They don't take them seriously. They don't take the Bible seriously. That's what we were founded on, and we're only a small percentage of the American population. We're very diverse. But if we don't start with ourselves, you can't go out into the world and evangelize the world. We are, as John Adams said, this nation was created to be for a moral and a religious people. We are neither. And a republic, you know, to be self-governing nation, you got to have those moral principles to stand on. And we've abandoned those. I mean, we are a nation with moral relevance is what we've taught our children for several generations. There are no absolute values. Your values are no better than mine. I can go look in a mirror and marry myself. I can marry my pet. I can, you know, two brothers can marry each other, whatever they want to do. That's where we're at today. And governments enforcing policies promoting every type of vile, deviant sexual behavior is normal. And anyone who objects to it is not normal and should be punished, severely punished. And they're doing that. And they'd like to make that a prison sentence. And they are doing that in Europe, and they're doing it in Canada. They're not doing it in Muslim countries, and they're sure not doing it in Russia, which is kind of weird. They're doing it here in Western countries. But, you know, and America is not far behind the rest of Western Europe and Canada and basically circumscribing your rights of freedom of speech and of religion. Hillary Clinton said, we need to change our religious beliefs to conform to society's norms. She said that just a couple of months ago. Maybe it was a few weeks ago. But, you know, she believes that stuff. And, you know, she ran for president, came pretty close to becoming the next president. She was a senator. She was a secretary of state. And she moves in those elite circles all the time. That's what those people believe, and they look at us as a nuisance. And remember, go back culturally how they're different. You go back and you look at the fight over Walmart and Atascadero. I remember people getting up and going to the microphone of the city council and talking about those Walmart people and their cheap underwear. You know, they hold us in contempt. They hold the average American in contempt because they have a whole different world view of what the world should be. And frankly, we're a nuisance. They'd be happy if we just all disappeared and kidnapped in a spaceship or something and taken another planet tomorrow. And today would be not soon enough for them. But that's what they're like. And a lot of them, you know, they hate the military. They've never met anybody in the military in many cases. The rank and the people that vote for them, it's in office. Go to New England sometime in the upscale neighborhoods. You know, they're a whole different group of people up there than they are in a lot of places in this world. Or San Francisco or any other place. You have a lot of money and they're kind of insulated in how they think and look at the world. And they just don't relate to us at all. And they just, like, what are these people doing here on my beach or whatever? So, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Amen.
Okay.
So, on another front, do you think that Trump wins and gets back into office, will the Republicans have the chutzpah to go after, like Hillary and Obama and Biden and Fauci and a half a dozen of the others, you know?
Well, we need enough majorities in the House and the Senate to do things. We need the presidency, too, so we'll see. You know, we thought we won the House and the Senate at the times, and all of a sudden we elected a bunch of jellyfish. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
And the first thing I do is we got to help President Trump get elected. I have another caller waiting. I've got to go take the other call. So thank you for your call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks. You know, Al, if we don't have vengeance, we have no justice. There has to be vengeance, not in a violent way, but there has to be. We have to recognize vengeance.
We have to play hardball on about vengeance.
Not hold anybody accountable. We have to revenge those who have been unjust to us and expose them. There has to be vengeance. Donald Trump is an amazing guy. He stands up there and he never shouts and never even raises his voice. To me, as an emotional person, it's absolutely amazing. But there has to be vengeance.
Well, you have
to defeat these people making these decisions are not qualified to make those decisions. We've just allowed them to because of a lot of reasons. But you have to be vengeful against the people who try to destroy not just you as a person, but our entire morality, our entire integrity, our existence. These are dirty people.
Well,
the
they are a lot
dirty
of
people.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. You know, if you say vengeance, you're talking about a civil war. If you say they have to be held accountable.
No. That's not what I'm talking about. And if you look in the dictionary, I'm not talking about a civil war. I'm talking about going after the people who have been kicking our butts for 8 or 9 years now. I'm talking about finding out what's in their closet.
Well, we'll find
and
out.
Exposing it. We don't have anybody in the Republican Party that has the cojones to actually do that. I'm not talking about a civil war. I'm not talking about shooting people and this type of violence. I'm talking responding to people who have been trying to destroy this nation.
Okay. Sorry about that. We got a break. We'll be back. Computer rules.
Hi, I'm glad you could make it.
Wow, your house looks amazing.
Thanks. We just had our whole house painted by Peak Painting. They even refinished all of our cabinets.
They did a beautiful job. I really like the colors.
They had their in-house designer help me with my color selection. The whole process was so easy. You should have them do a free estimate at your house. Just go to peakpainting.com to book an appointment. That's peakpainting.com.
I'm pulling it up on my phone right now.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peakpainting.com.
Painting services come with a 9-year labor and materials warranty. Some exclusions apply. Contact peakpainting.com for details. That's Peak Painting, peakpainting.com.
Paso Robles Glass is exclusively presenting the new Milgard Trinzic Series windows and doors. If you're looking for a vinyl window frame that is contemporary with modern crisp lines, you'll love the new Trinzic Series from Milgard and Paso Robles Glass. Give your home a clean, sleek look with less vinyl and more glass to enjoy your view. Whether it's new construction or replacement, Paso Robles Glass has a window for you. And remember, they are the replacement window masters. Call Paso Robles Glass for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014. That's 238-4014 for Paso Robles Glass.
Get it fast, save some cash. Paso Glass is where it's at.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Summer's almost here. Time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackins has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrill, and much more. Come on down to Tackins in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackins Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937.
Okay, we're back. And just to clarify things, I don't cut people off. The computer rolls and it automatically shuts us down. Music comes on and it goes to commercial. And that's what runs the station. So we've got to do these things. And I'm sorry if someone doesn't get to finish their sentence, but that's the music tries to give you a warning. You know, how do we get where we are at? When we vote people to office, we send them to the legislature, we send them to city councils, board of supervisors, and also we leave rules. These agencies are making rules on their own. Well, what happens is, like in San Luis County, you have 10 or 12 agencies, cities, you have seven cities, and board of supervisors, and you have other little special districts. Remember 10 years ago when they did the bag, plastic bag ban? Well, nobody voted for that. I didn't vote for that. We didn't get an opportunity to. This group of agencies got together, and you had the waste management group says, we need to get plastic bags gone because they're causing us problems. People objected to that, but they were outvoted amongst themselves. We voted for them for different boards, but we never had an opportunity as a community to vote on whether we wanted that or not. We may have voted for it. I don't know. But the bottom line is we don't get an opportunity to vote on these rules. California Air Resources Board makes rules with the force of law. We don't vote for them. The governor appoints them to this board. They make it. Well, I believe that in Coastal Commission, they're one of the worst offenders. You know, they're supposedly going to keep the beaches open for us. They turn out to be a tyrannical organization that other agencies have a lot of problems with. Planning departments go crazy trying to work with these people because they're so radical in the views that they hold quite frequently. One of the things I think we need to do is basically put a constitutional amendment in, like in California, for instance, and other places as well, that no agency can impose a rule imposing more than, say, $10,000 on any single business, any $100,000 more than any agency, unless it's ratified by the legislature or the governing body, board of supervisors, the city council, whatever it may be. They can make all the suggestions they want. Oh, this is a great rule. We've had hearings. People think this, and I think that, and put that before it, but there needs to be accountability. We are self-governing people, but we've given that away to unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats whose sole function coming out of a college with all these idealistic utopian ideas they get in college, and we put them to work as bureaucrats designing all kinds of plans and studies and everything else. This is how we make a perfect world for this thing and a perfect world for that thing. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world with real people, and it's really messy. People trying to make a living. I mean, they had guys in the Air Pollution District going to the fair a couple of years ago, slapping stickers on there, shutting down rides because their generators powering their rides weren't approved by the California Air Resources Board, or California Air Pollution Board. So the ride got shut down, and some guy who makes his living off the fair suddenly gets a major loss. You know, his family's devastated by it. These aren't really wealthy people that do these kinds of things. And, you know, the public's denied an opportunity to do something because, you know, a little bit of smoke is emitted from a motor. As if that's going to change all the dust and debris and pollution that comes in from China and comes in from the valley and dumps on San Luis County. But they have a job and a mindset, they do it. We have inspectors that come through beauty parlors and barbershops, and they fine hairdressers because there's a little bit of hair at the base of your thing. There's a trash can that's not covered somewhere, and rigorously enforcing things without, you know, any conscience or without any consideration of what's the impact is on that young woman who, you know, makes $600 a week. She's a single mom or something like that, and you just find her $600. That's a whole week's pay. How's she going to live? I've seen it happen in Atascadero, not once, but over and over and over again, with some of these inspectors who get brownie points for writing tickets and stuff. The bureaucracy is out of control. That's why people are so resentful of government. But we have allowed this to happen because we don't demand to be held accountable, and we let our legislatures basically pass the buck. Well, I didn't do that. Oh, I'll have to look into that. And they don't do anything. We need to hold them accountable at every single level, and we need to change the way to do business. At the federal level, with these law enforcement intelligence agencies working collusion to destroy a presidency of Donald Trump, there needs to be an internal affairs for federal law enforcement agencies that looks only at them, not the Congress, not legislators, not you and I, only at them. And when they do something like collude with each other, to put forth a false narrative to the President of the United States in his campaign is colluding with the Russians, we find out it's a hoax. There needs to be some mechanism to prosecute them, not to have the Justice Department investigate itself and then give everything a whitewash, so say nothing to see here. We've seen that over and over and over again. I want to put absolute fear and terror in the hearts and minds of appointed officials and things like the director of the FBI who gets a 10-year appointment, and all of the little guys working under him, all the agents there, all the deputy directors and associate directors and everything else, they know they can not only go to jail, they can lose their pensions, and if they refuse to cooperate and they don't cooperate with congressional subpoenas, they lose their pension. That's the language that bureaucrats understand because they work for 20 or 30 years to get that pension. They have all the status and prestige, but it can all be gone overnight if they lie or they refuse refuse to cooperate or they break the law and violate yours or my rights. That's the biggest problem with these people right now. They're not accountable. And people are afraid of them. They're afraid of them because they have information on people and they know they can come after them, and they do. You had that IRS tax investigator, Lois something or another, Lerner, I think her name was basically penalizing conservative groups, not giving their tax exempt status for years. And she clammed up and she didn't say anything, and she got to retire with her pension. She had to retire, but she was doing all kinds of stuff that she shouldn't have been doing. That kind of stuff needs to be a prosecutable offense by a separate agency, not be able to have the IRS say, we're going to do this, give her a slap on the wrist under civil rule, service rules. I want the fear of God put into these people. And I want smaller government. That means we stop hiring people for a couple of years, just let them retire, and we just shrink these agencies. The FBI is getting a new building. It's bigger than the Pentagon. The Pentagon has about 20 or 30,000 people in it. Why does the FBI headquarters have to have 20 or 30,000 people in it? Why do we let the FBI get that big? We have a national police force. Did you vote for a national police force? I didn't. That's a pretty scary thing. Now, they have a lot of tremendous capabilities with their investigative capabilities, but they also have a lot of power through presidential executive orders. They were given total authority over all terrorism incidents. Sounds great on the surface, but it steps on an awful lot of toes at the state level when they come in like a 900-pound gorilla and take over things, and they say, we'll handle this. They don't play well with others, and they don't share information frequently. That's one of the biggest complaints that I've heard from them, and I've worked with them on major emergency exercises, counterterrorism exercise in the Bay Area. I was deputy director of an exercise there. They almost crashed the whole exercise. A team of 12 of them came in and disrupted the whole thing. I almost had to call the governor's office to fire them and send them home. The liaison that worked with us was working really well. Everything was coordinated, and this team comes in from Washington, and they just walked all over everybody, and they wrecked the exercise, at least a portion of it. It was a real problem. I mean, there needs to be accountability. No one agency or combination of agencies should feel ever that they have the authority to crush the American people. Look at all those people from January 6th that have been arrested. They spent how many agents and hours chasing down 1,700 people, many of whom were just there watching what was going on. If you were in D.C. at all for any reason, you were put on a watch list for years. They had an agent supposedly watching an 18-month-old child who was there with his parents. His name was on a flight list landing in D.C. that day. And they've been watching him for a couple of years. It's ridiculous. That's the kind of bureaucracy that we got, the mindset that we have. They made the American people the enemy of the state, unless you're in total conformity with the powers that be. And that includes their worldview as well. That's wrong. I mean, investigating the Catholic Church, you know, people who are conservatives because they're pro-life, that's their right to be for that. And they have a right to peacefully assemble. And you can't say that they're violent and dangerous. We have to watch them when you let other groups in the year 2020 go from city to city and literally burn cores, the commercial districts of cities, to the ground. And people were murdered. And they've done very little to prosecute those people and go after them. You got these guys in masks, the anarchists running around doing stuff. Nobody's, no show trials for them. Only people you hear about are the Proud Boys and people like that getting prosecuted, and they probably should have been. But what about the rest of the people out there that are trying to tear this country down? There are people literally trying to destroy the nation, and we've got to stand up. Now they've gone for president of the United States. They want to put him literally in jail after he left office. It's up to you and I to let people know this is not acceptable and this will not stand. And to let the courts know, this is not the will of the American people. We don't want this. And the best way you can do that is to make sure that Donald Trump gets elected, reelected to the presidency, and someone as strong as his vice president who can stand up for you. Even if they do have his physical body in custody, they don't have the rest of us in custody, and we will fight for him, fight for justice in his cause, fight for all of us, because that's what we have to do. And if you're not willing to stand up and be counted and let your voices be heard, somebody else's voices are going to be heard and not yours. We are at a crisis point in this country. The republic is in danger, and it's not in danger from Donald Trump. It's in danger from these bureaucracies and this runaway prosecutors that think that they are above the law, and judges that think they can do anything they want to do with impunity and will never be held accountable. Previous caller talked about vengeance. I'm talking about accountability. And I think he was, too. We need to hold people accountable, and nobody gets to basically ignore the constitutional rights of anyone in this country. No one is above the law, but nobody is below the law either. And that's the way they're treating Donald Trump. I think we're going to close in a few seconds. Just to let you know the kind of things that are happening. You got a battery storage facility going in Morro Bay. Well, there's been a fire. A Gateway Energy storage facility in Otay Mesa erupted into flames and burning for 13 days. They put millions of gallons of water on to extinguish this fire. Pushing these things on us. What are they? We'll talk next week, folks. Have a good week.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.